And away we go.
Fresh Bimbo. A fresh is still not fresh.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 4 of the Fresh Pinball Podcast. Ooh, baby, do we have a guest in store for you.
Before
we get to that guest, let's go around the table. And I'm going to go reverse style this time.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to go to my right. Zach?
Jeff?
How we doing, buddy?
Flipping fantastic. I added another pinball to the garage today.
Oh, we're going to talk about that new pinball in the garage.
We got some acquisitions going on.
Fresh. It's literally the freshest of the fresh.
Oh, so fresh.
And across from me, Corbin, I know it's been a day, buddy. How we feeling?
Doing good. Just tired, doing a lot of running around. Some days, seems like calls are coming from every direction.
But some days, that's how it's better than no calls.
Things are getting played. You know, it's just how it goes.
Exactly. Kyle, to my left.
I'm foodtastic.
He's foodtastic.
Oh, I'm foodtastic.
We will be talking about
more
that
fresh
today.
Pinball.
The fresh Toledo pinball now in Kyle's house.
Yes, sir.
And live on the line, we have from Buffalo, Dave Sousa. Dave, how are we feeling, buddy?
Hey, we are feeling good, guys. Thank you for having me tonight.
I'm
really excited to be here.
It is exciting to have you on. I know we chat on the regular. I have some deep notes here that we need to get into. But before we get into all that, from last episode's fact check, here we go.
Bam, bam, bam.
So, Nine Sisters was mentioned on multiple episodes at this point. So, you know, I'm just hanging out at my house a few days ago, and all of a sudden I get this Dead Flip Pinball now follows Fresh Pinball Podcast. I'm like, this is strange. What could this mean? Mm. 2 seconds later, I get a message from said Dead Flip that says, oh, as a matter of fact, I do listen to your podcast.
But he also stated that he shares that game every year because it's a holy grail.
It turns out, he has been posting Nine Sisters for multiple years. So, of course, at that point, you know, after a little bit of a back and forth and, you know, setting up that relationship for future workings, I looked up to see. I can see who listens to the podcast, like in terms of geographically.
Oh, okay.
So I can see how many people in Illinois. And
so
then,
what was what? 14?
So then I can break it down by city, and we have 12 listeners
12.
In Elk Grove Village, Illinois. I wonder who those people could be, those 12 people that are listening to the podcast.
Jeff's not being creepy or anything.
Shout out there to everybody in Elk Grove Village that may be listening to this podcast.
It's just crazy. Like, if 12 people at Stern, I don't even care if they're just like the ones that like put the decals on. Like, that's cool.
It's wild. So that's shout out anyone over there that may be listening. Definitely very, very cool. So in another very cool note, I was texting this to Corbin, but I don't think I'd said anything to Kyle or Zach yet. I was texting with Mr. Rob Burke of Pastimes Arcade fame and Expo fame.
World Book of Records.
Yeah.
And there is a very good possibility that the Fresh Pinball Podcast will be doing a panel at the 40th anniversary Pinball Expo.
What?
No way.
Huh?
What?
A repeat performance?
What? What is it about? What are we talking about? This pinball?
We get to declare.
Yeah, I mean, yes. At this point, we get to
we
talk
just get
about
to do this. Apparently,
yeah. Oh,
okay.
What
like
we
a
do
live
right now?
Viewing.
Like, we should just literally just do the podcast
I don't
on the
know
stage.
About this.
A live
recording here like this, and people
yeah.
can watch.
I need
yeah, exactly.
Dave's opinion. Dave, should we do a live recording of the Fresh Pinball Podcast at the panel?
Yeah, don't encourage us.
Yes, very much so. And you know what? I really want to hear is Fresh Pinball Podcast. Pinball Olympic takes.
Yes.
I will be going and like, you know, yes. Expo, I'm real excited for, especially 40, but like Pinball Olympics is on my like bucket list. Like this, the Should stories be. You guys
so
share, the stories everyone
I haven't
else
seen
shares,
Jeff
amazing.
In like a week or so until last night, but he's texted me like five times about Pinball Olympics in the last week.
Here's
so.
The yes. problem is I think we've overhyped Pinball Olympics and now like, what if we get shut out?
No, I already see. We got to stop talking about yeah. this. We got to make sure we get tickets. And then once we have our tickets secured, then we can start
talking. When is Expo again, Jeff?
October.
October, man. October.
Yeah.
October.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
15-ish. Yeah.
So I think we're talking. We're in the early stages of trying to lock down a Friday panel. That way we can do Friday panel, Friday expo trip, and then Saturday for Pinball Olympics. So
been training since last that, year.
Ooh. Every time I talk to Corbin in the morning, he's still out of breath because he's been running the steps over at the McKinley Monument. So I know.
Gotta get ready.
Are you doing your Rocky run? Rocky run?
Do-do-do. I have a tiger, baby.
Yo, Adrian. You get to the top.
All right. So in other fresh pinball news, Kyle, Jaws Pro out.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be. Foo Fighters Pro in.
I think I'm going to hate it on for it, actually. Oh, it's my bedtime.
Good night, Kyle.
Kyle's bedtime alarm. Oh, how cute.
Yeah,
you connected up with Dave Bouchea up in Toledo Pinball Land. Shout Very out, nice. Dave. You are an amazing operator Very up nice there guy. In Northwest Ohio.
You see he's trying to make it not a wasteland, pinball wasteland up there.
Yeah, he's got the basement up there. He's got several breweries on board. Yeah, I think he said
like 10 locations right now.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Like, that's cool. No, 6 locations, max 10 games at one.
Yeah.
Still.
He is a fantastic pinball guy. I've seen him several times at Kleepin and different events. He's always getting around, but everybody up there amazing.
I mean, it was on route for a year, makes sense to me. And it's very
say, Jaws is fun, but very good. I mean, I do like
Foo Fighters.
It's so much fun.
It's my favorite new Stern for sure.
It's very fun.
Modern times.
So Dave, as a former Foo Fighters premium owner, let's get your takes here on Foo Fighters.
You got a premium has that dead post.
Yes, former Foo. You know, I did actually trade it with a buddy down in Pittsburgh, Adam, and for an Aliens, which you know,
okay.
It was a mix up trade. There was cash on top too, right?
Right.
Or the Aliens plus cash for Foo, but you know, Foo Jeff hooked me up, got me Launch Edition Foo Premium. You know, played the hell out of it. Great game. You know,
you modded it up pretty nicely too. Brutally hard.
Yeah, a few little like little thin cob LEDs on that Area 51 thing, you know, those little small kind of encased LEDs and some tasteful mods, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, mini wizard mode on that was starting to get pretty achievable. I never actually officially wizarded it. I always got really close. I mean, it's a hard game. But you know,
hey,
after a while,
there's only 6 modes, and that's what always entices me when they're like, "Hey, there's only 6 modes."
Yeah, right. It's you know, it's I think with it's a great pin, probably one of like you guys said one of the best Sterns, recent Sterns. But the only problem with music pins is all right. I heard you know Monkey Wrench 8,000 times. You know, I'm an elder millennial, so like Foo Fighters, like I grew up with 90s grunge, so it's up my alley. But after a while, you're like, all right, I want to mix it up and. I saw Aliens.
I'm wondering if somebody
really knew a lot about
got some
bros.
Code out there where you can just throw in some like you know.
I think there's up to like how
whatever
much
you want.
Want. There's like 12
there's
songs.
15. There's a lot.
15.
There's a page 15 or 16 songs.
15, but if you're in that mode
for that,
if you're in a specific mode, it plays that song.
Yeah,
so
over
like,
and over,
yeah. The rules. I mean, if you love complex rules, and it's got just crazy rules with you know the bonus shots and things like that, the multipliers. So. It's a good game. Tons of flow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Rules, you say? Rules? I just go for multi-ball. I'm sorry.
That left orbit crossover shot
is
probably one of the best shots in modern pinball, though.
Yeah. I just love the ball paths the ability to combo.
There's
and
so
all
much
that.
For it to zip around. Yeah. And it's right. I feel like back to the flipper.
Jack, we love it.
Definitely.
Too. I like how Jack brought back the kicking target.
Yeah.
That's like, wow, sweet. What's this?
Classic
I'm like, bro.
In that save post.
I'm like a Gottlieb shill. So I'm like, come on. I like anyone in Gladiators? Like Gladiators didn't even have slings. It was just like kicking targets. You know?
Right.
Stargate,
right.
There's like a you know, kicking targets everywhere. So but I like how he kind of picks little bits of other games and toss it all in there. And,
absolutely.
It's a good one. So Aliens is also a great game, so I'm pretty happy with it right now, mixing it up. But Pinball Brothers, I'm a little angry. I still have it, you know, but they, you know, Pinball Brothers is different. It's, you know, they're different, but it's a great game. It's very 90s Bally Williams-esque, you know. So if you want to own Aliens, be a tinkerer.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. So that's all I'll say with that.
Well, what's interesting with that game is, you know, with the Mad Pinball side of it, we sell a lot to first-time pinball owners, and they're just looking directly at, you know, what themes speak to them. And Alien.
And then your helper, Corbin, has to fix it.
Right. Well, yeah. It's always one, it tends to be one people ask about, and I'm like, oh, hey, you know, this is not a great, like, this can sour you on pinball, like, if this is a first game for you. Like, I try to push people to something a little more. Or less of a tinkerer's game, something that's just going to be more reliable for them out of the box until they get comfortable with the basics. And then let's move on to a little more in-depth features.
I feel like for some people, too, some people enjoy that like aspect of it. Like they like having the glass out and adjusting this and adjusting that. And for some people, they like don't want to do that.
I mean,
at all,
I'm
like,
a tinkerer all the way. I mean, I had that pro for 2 days. Why do you put red in GI? That's the only thing I'm gonna say. Jack Danger, please stop doing that. I had the Jurassic Park home, which I liked as well, but that red GI has got to go.
My problem is by the time I get home, like the games at my house, I feel like I sometimes neglect the most because after I'm like all day of just fixing shit, I get home and I'm playing and I'm like, it's not working, but it mostly works. Whatever. Or I'm just going to play something else.
You just bring it to my house and then
I'll just take it.
It works.
I'll just play something. Turn it off. Turn something else on.
Hey, you weren't Circus Voltaire? Yeah, I'll change all the lights. Make it look
so for the next item on the fact check, in our deep, deep conversation that we talked about with Data East, the Aaron Spelling Special Edition pinball machine came up, and I have a short list here of famous television shows that Aaron Spelling produced. Charlie's Angels, Dynasty, Charmed, Seventh Heaven, Melrose Place, and Love Boat. So, I mean, those are some pretty iconic television shows. You're looking all the way back to, like, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
TV, dude.
So that's my little Aaron Spelling thing here. So during
did anyone fact check that the Monday Night Football was actually like a decent game?
Pretty much everyone else at the table definitely confirmed that my opinion of it being the best Data East game was in fact incorrect.
I'm surprised
I didn't hear more RoboCop.
Yeah, that's got the jump ramp.
I do like the jump ramp.
The jump ramp is cool.
Look, yeah, it's got a jump ramp, man.
That's all it's got going for it.
Is it, man?
It has a topper. Does it have like a little police topper? Or I'm thinking Last Action Hero.
Yeah, Last Action Hero has the Baywatch has the little one too. Well, Baywatch is.
I feel like you never see RoboCop though.
You don't. The first time I played it was up at VFW.
Wasn't there one at Logan last year?
I'll say Logan. I think I was playing
it. Yeah, you're right.
So
the other Data East game that we talked about a little bit coincidentally was the Data East Guns N' Roses. And as it turns out,
I forgot we got one
when you
too.
Send Jeff to the Pins Mechanical Warehouse.
Shit, you did buy one, didn't
unsupervised,
you?
Unsupervised. And he has room for one pinball machine.
You know, we're always worried about Corbin.
That's what I'm saying. Whenever
you're
like, Corbin,
you have
I'm
enough
like,
pinballs. You have enough pinballs.
And then Jeff's like, look what I brought us back. And it's like, whoa. He was unsupervised? Like, I'm the one they worry about.
Got to throw you a curveball sometimes.
Not mad.
It hasn't been unfolded yet and worked on, so more details. Corbin threatened
to pull it
into his house.
It needs done.
I was going to say, did you have to take back one of the American games you sold him or something?
No, this was, I think they were looking for a Foo Fighters Pro, actually. Is what they ended up, you know, we did that and some cash coming our way. So.
That's a good deal.
Some more information.
I just
coming
want to
soon.
Get a little time on it. I've really only played it down at Hoofhearted. I think mainly is the place I played it. So
same. So Wednesday, today's Thursday.
Yes,
so yesterday,
apparently,
Corbin and I are riding around doing.
I made
some...
Jeff do, as he calls it, an all-dayer. That means you don't get to take a nap in the middle of the day.
What did you make him work for? Like 3 hours? Did you get out of him? Or?
No, man. We met out there at like 9?
We started. Pre 9 a.m.
I said 9. You got out there before 9. I was already out there. It's not my fault. I didn't force you to come out early.
Yeah. There was all kinds of stuff going on. And we're riding around doing whatever. And, you know, Corbin's taking calls, this, that, and the other. And
I fed Jeff.
Corbin ate twice yesterday.
Twice. At least. What?
I know. Pizza both times. It was very bizarre. Very, very bizarre.
It's a miracle.
But the phone rings. And I look over and I hear him say, hey, Dad, what's up? And then the next thing I know, literally Paul is trying to sell every pinball machine in the warehouse. I thought by the end of the call, he was going to
fire.
Sell the warehouse.
He's like, you want Popeye? You want fire? I'm like, what? No, those are in the other section. Those are not, for, like, what do you got the space station? I'm like, stop.
literally every game that's laying around, he's trying to sell to a guy.
He's like, what about this? What about Jeff's Rick and Morty? He want this?
What?
Paul, stop trying to sell everything.
That guy called again today, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Well, he's like, I never got that full list of which ones you're actually willing to sell.
Yeah, tell your dad to share the guy's phone number, or email, or whatever, and I'll hook him up with some numbers.
Like, I
kind of
wanted that Dirty Harry. It's like, it's gone, man. Quick.
Dirty Harry, shout out Garrett Fuller in Medina, the new proud owner of a Jurassic Park premium. He traded in his Dirty Harry, and we barely had it set up at the Sweeper City Pinball Championships, and it was sold. It's going to go to the Kennedy family in Kent, Ohio. Shout out Greg Kennedy, the 2023 Ohio state pinball champ. So that's
Midnight Madness.
Yeah, that's going to be going into Rampage. His collection.
Oh, it's Midnight Rampage.
He's going to be sharing some hot dogs with Dirty Harry.
It's a fun game.
I think that one has some guns on the playfield, right?
Didn't I already tell you people in Elk Grove Village listen to this podcast, Dave?
Yes. Oh, man.
We can't do that. So, yeah, that has a new home. So, congratulations there. Corbin, if you want to pull up your notes from Ben, we can go to that next. But I did have a message, Zach, that this was directed towards you.
Oh.
So, apparently, during the way too much time that we were talking about our favorite tacos of all time, you off the cuff said that you love going to Taco Town.
Yeah, probably.
And that some listeners may want some more information about what exactly you were referring to when you say that you love to go to Taco Town.
I guess you just call it, you know, eating a bunch of tacos, you know?
It's kind of like a coma.
Yeah, a taco coma, Taco Town, you know?
Okay.
Making a bunch of delicious smoked meats or, you know.
I guess we're going to keep it PG this time. Yeah. When Zach loves going to Taco Town.
Just put your smoked meats inside of those tacos and then serve them to the people.
We've not went explicit yet. I'm waiting for Dave to go explicit. That's what I'm waiting for here.
Corbin's tired.
I'm trying my best here. I think I'm already in. I got one strike after the last.
You really do. We can't talk about the G word. So we've got to keep that under wraps. All right, Corbin.
For the record, it doesn't bother me. So, but I like how people get, super crazy about that kind of stuff. So
it's one of those things where it's like it feels like no one is in like a gray area on that. It's like you're either on one extreme or the other, and it just is absolutely bananas. So
very much. So
Ben in Columbus, you said had some fact check notes for us.
So Ben, he's talked to us. He's sent in fact checks before and whatnot. We're gonna have him on one of these days. But
definitely.
Anyway, he was listening to us talk about the white water, and he actually did a deep dive using the Wayback Machine.
Whoa! Ben has a Wayback Machine?
I think that's what he said it was.
Holy cow! Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, the Wayback Machine. This, like, I think it's the site that searches stuff that's not on there anymore. I don't know. Either way, he's recently had two broken arms.
So he has a little bit of time on his hands?
But I think they're both functional.
What's the Wayback Machine?
Apparently a way that you can find things from the past, Zach.
It's like a Back to the Future type machine.
I hope it's a DeLorean.
I hope it's a DeLorean, too. Ben, what's a Wayback Machine?
Right. We need the fact check.
So he used it.
What's that email?
Freshpinball@gmail.com. Yeah, okay. So he did about the white water topper. I was completely, I don't know where my story came from. My brain, apparently. But anyway, he said it got him wondering how it was made, and it was that awesome. It's a process. So the entire process was called. So he was listening to us talk about the white water topper, and it got him wondering how it was made because the effect is awesome. It is a process called micro embossing. Basically, it's a very fine pattern that is pressed onto a metal foil with a die. A large press and heat is involved. The textures reflect light differently, so when you have the scrolling lights, it looks like motion. The dies, in this case, were made by an artist and are apparently no longer in existence. So I guess the original dies got destroyed, got... Who knows what happened to him? Sweet. Somebody probably has him.
We need to make some dies, is what I'm hearing.
So he said the most difficult part to reproduce it would be getting a die made. The original die was basically hand etched / carved into a copper plate die. So like
we can do that.
Yeah,
we can do that.
You can't. Okay. Well, cool. Perfect.
No, seriously. Like.
He said he found one where some people contacted the original artist, and he said he would remake the plates, but I guess the cost was like almost 10 grand is what they were saying. Which, though, I'm just going to say this, though. In today's topper market, 10 grand to do that, and you sold them for $1,000 each? Like,
I feel like you could get more than $1,000
each. I'm just saying minimum. Yeah, I'm just saying at a minimum.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Twisted Pins guy tried to remake it with the same process, but their pattern was apparently garbage, so the effect didn't work. And I don't know who the Twisted Pins are, guys are, so no hate on them, but that's what they said.
A for effort, F for execution.
So yeah, apparently it was it's just the dye's gone.
We just have to have the original one cast it in wax, dude.
Yeah. Lost to time.
He also said he was in Japan. He's been to Japan multiple times, and he was talking about like looking for pinballs, like you were talking about pinballs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he said that he normally actually sees mostly 80% 90s era Bally Williams is what he sees.
Bunch of imports.
And then the rest newer Sterns. He said he saw like 4 Circus Voltaires last time he was there, and he was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, it just like more of that stuff than they did, than necessarily like what we were.
The original. Because it was also for like a short period there.
Right.
In the 70s or whatever.
So I'll piggyback on that a little bit. I did look up on Pastime's list of games, and the Japanese Sega that they have is the 1972 Surfing. So that's the one that they have out on the floor there at Pastime. So I did want to make a notation of that.
And so is that one an EM? Because they had those.
Yeah.
They had both.
They had both.
Yeah. They had like super early solid states. Like,
yeah. Because it was a couple like of EMs before, and the rest were solid states.
Yeah. Okay.
That site had them all.
So I got called out because I didn't know who Jeff Teolis was. And I had multiple messages that were telling me, how are you not aware of who this is? He's the voice on, you know, these games. And he has a very famous podcast called Pinball Profile, which now I've listened to several episodes of. It's very much like interview guest based sort of podcast, but he has some really cool polls on that of guests that he's had. So I can definitely see why Mr. Norris was on his list of people that he wanted to talk to. So shout out Jeff Teolis, because I know that you are going to be at the Sweeper City Pinball Championships this weekend. So maybe we'll run into each other and I'll introduce myself, and
very cool.
We won't be strangers anymore. No more stranger danger.
Well, they have a great turnout. I mean,
well, I know for Thursday when I was there about 2 o'clock, and today podcast time. They already had nearly 50 people that were there on a Thursday. So I can only imagine by Friday night and Saturday, it's just going
to
be huge.
Would you guys contribute to the Sweeper City Championships this year?
Nice little variety.
Yeah. We took Ninja Eclipse.
Yeah.
Godfather Ellie.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Barrio's Barbecue Challenge Ellie.
Did you update it?
Yep, I updated it.
All the cores.
Okay.
John Wick Premium, Pulp Fiction, Dirty Harry.
The Dirty Harry, yeah.
So pretty nice little selection from a lot of our manufacturing partners.
And I'm glad we took, you were like, we take six, we're going to take two trips, but then it's like, wait, one sold, so we're going to take five. We're one trailer.
What I said to Greg, too. I'm like, oh, this is one less that I have to drag out of here. This is perfect.
Whose Pinball Magic was there? I saw that in the photos.
So that was Galvin's.
Oh, cool.
So he had picked that up actually from Kyle G.
I got to figure out some wiring on that thing getting passed around
a little bit.
Yeah. Cool.
Ooh. Do you have any experience up there, Dave, with any Capcoms? Have any of those passed through the game room?
Just not through my game room. We do have a break shot on location. Ooh, and it is nice. On the light. But, Pinball Magic, I do want to see. You know, I just want to see the levitation in person.
It's
right?
Great.
You know,
it's great.
The smoke and mirrors.
It's a cool
but, game. Yeah, not too many Capcoms.
Yeah,
unless I get out to Pastimes.
Because didn't you say Corbin Pastimes just got a break shot?
Pastimes has a break shot, yes. And I thought they have two. I don't remember what the other one was.
Pinball Magic. Pinball Magic. The other one that they
You're going to have to pull Airborne out of Phil's and put it back on location so it can be.
He actually talked to me about wanting to trade it for Judge Dredd. So
yeah.
There you go.
Get that baby swapped out.
Yeah. I want to bring Pinball Magic back.
Because it was
an awesome game. I enjoy it.
Pinball Magic, but then when you had your Airborne out, it was one of two on location?
One of three at the time. Now there are only two out there.
Yeah.
So kind of on that same note, we talked a little bit last episode about Gottlieb's Operation Thunder and how none of us had seen it or like run into it at all. Like how are there 2,500 of these that were produced and none of us have ever seen one? There, according to Pinside, there are 8 on location right now. And as it turns out, one of them is in the Pinball Museum of Corbin, Kentucky.
It's so funny because one time I was in Corbin, Kentucky, because I was driving by on the freeway and it said the KFC Museum is there.
Yeah, right.
Right?
So I stopped
Free
for
coleslaw
that.
Then.
And I was like, say what? I'm like, KFC Museum? I'm like, why? I mean, you got to stop at first KFC.
Yeah.
Did not even realize it. I got home, was playing around, and I saw like on Pinball Map or Pinside or something. I'm like, God damn, there's a Pinball Museum of Corbin, Kentucky, and
there
I did
go.
Not stop.
We went explicit.
This explicit episode is brought to you in part by Angelique Stark Novelties.
We sponsor that part somehow.
All right, so that's it for this episode's fact check. That was about 25 minutes of us blabbering and everything else. So that's par for the course. So, Dave, I want you to introduce yourself out here to the podcast, to the Pinball Podcast audience, and talk about a little bit about your pinball journey. So how did you get into pinball? And, you know, take me from the beginning and to where you are now.
Sure. I think, Jeff, kind of like you, I'm still newer to the scene, right? It's only been a few years, you know, considering a lot of these guys have been doing it for decades, right? So probably like, I don't know, maybe around 2019, you know, is kind of when my pinball journey started, right? I've always played pins here or there, casually, right? A lot of fond memories of like the restaurant we used to go to all the time as a kid. You know, there was an Addams Family there, of course, right?
Of course.
That, you know, probably got like dumped somewhere. You know, this grail pin that was just
found
abused, right?
By a dumpster somewhere.
Yeah. So, but you know, never really was on my radar in terms of like hobbies. But you know, around I think 2019 was when they. Was it Toy Shock or Arcade 1-Up kind of made those like mini virtual cabs?
Yeah.
So I saw that. I was like, oh, this is a neat concept, like virtual pinball. So I made my own V-pin because those were kind of trash. I made my own V-pin and that kind of got me into pinball again a little bit more. So playing a lot of the games on the V-pin helped me learn rules, helped me learn different games that I would never be exposed to.
Similar here, Dave. Like I had an EM and a whatever, a Jaxed Open, and I built a V-pin.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I built a V-pin, and I was like, oh, shit, I got to own this shit now. Mm-hmm. Damn it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot more expensive.
I had the V-pin. Yeah, and so after I started doing that, my it was showing my family, oh, look at this little thing. I got like, all these games on it, and my uncle was like, hey, I have this like old pinball machine just sitting in my basement, like it hasn't been turned on in 20 years. Freaking Lucky Hand! He had a Lucky Hand, which is the Attaball Jaxed Open right there. So
yeah, wow,
there
that's crazy.
You know, yeah. So that was like my first real pin came from my uncle. You know, we're talking like 20 years of old rubbers. You touch it, they just crumble, right?
Disintegrate.
So. You know, yeah, just going through that thing, getting it running was awesome. And then, you know, shortly after that, I bought my first, like, you know, more modern game, right? So, actually, it turns out I actually bought my first game was a Gottlieb Rescue 911.
Oh.
I got it for, like, $1,500 or something. Yeah. Right? This is, like, 2020. Stuff. Like, yeah, just, like, start of pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, prices were starting to go up a little bit.
Yeah, right.
And I actually got it from Mr. Pen. Yeah, exactly. I got it from Mike Hale from Pastime.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cool. So I was like, you know, this is like 2020 or something at the time. So, well before Pastimes. I think he was a teacher or something at the time. And, you know, he had all these Gottliebs, and he reached out to me because he, like, wanted to buy my Lucky Hand that he saw. I owned one on
because it was an Attaboy. Inside. And he loves it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So
that's how I I met Mike Hale, too. I sold him an Attaboy.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. I rode with you for this awesome, also. Awesome guy.
Yeah,
you know,
great guy.
Super helpful. So, yeah, 911 was the first one. And, again, you know, not awesome game. A lot of good memories tied to it because, like, the first game that, like, I bought, right, like, I owned. The Lucky Hand was a hand-me-down.
Sure.
My son at the time, Ezra, was 3. So, like, I have a lot of good memories of him playing it and those, you know, those giant Gottlieb System 3 wide flipper angles were really good for little kids to drop up the ball, right? So, and he loved it, right? Who does, what 3-year-old boy doesn't like, you know, air,
he could probably hit every jackpot,
stuff,
you know?
Like, oh, for sure. He was easy. Like, I mean, yeah, he loved it. So there's a lot of cool things tied to that. But, you know, that game lasted a few months. I just started getting more and more serious.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of games flew in and out. I actually sold that 911 to my buddy down in Florida, Chris.
Was he the same one that the Gladiator went to?
He does, yeah. And I eventually sold him his second game, which was my Gottlieb Gladiators, because I had a bit of a like Gottlieb System 3 kick for a little bit. So I owned a bunch of them. But Gladiators was a cool game. It was really funky. We streamed it actually on one of the bro shows for Buffalo Pinball. The guys came over and we did it. Fun stream on that. And we
definitely, you know, shout Nick out and I, to those streams. Yeah. If anyone who doesn't tune in to those, like, definitely check that out. Those are always such a fun time. Like, I think the first one I saw live was when you guys did your Hard Body, and it was just an absolute
Hard Body was a blast.
Ton of fun.
Yeah. So Hard Body, just such a great game, which actually I got from a guy in Canton.
Yeah, so he's a local operator down here, Scott McCabe. Yeah. He has some locations around,
Scott,
and
yes.
He always has awesome stuff.
Scott, yeah, in great Sandy dude. Springs Brewery.
Sandy we're Springs down in Minerva.
Yeah, we're the Brewery of the Month for Stern. Yep. So congratulations to those guys.
No doubt.
And Scott does keep his shit clean. So.
Oh, yeah, Scott's, yeah, no top doubt. Notch.
Nope. Yeah. So, so after that, I started kind of digging into more projects, right? You know, after a few pens, I think you start to really get comfortable with the maintenance. You start doing projects. You know, I hooked up with my local scene because, you know, you start to get a little bit more skillful, a little more confident. I joined my local league. You know, shout out to Nick and Kevin from Buffalo Pinball because they set up a really great local league.
No doubt.
You know, every month we go to like a local's house to play their private collection. And we have some insane collections. I think you know a few of the guys from here. Patrick, you know, he's got every brand new game you can imagine. There's guys that have every 90s Bally Williams, you know, like just amazing. Like how does, you know, guys got dual fast breaks linked up, you know, right next to a Circus Voltaire, next to a Whitewater, next to a, you know, No Good Gophers. You're like, how is this? How do you have all of these games? But, you know, he's been collecting 30 years, right? It's insane. The local scene here is just great. So kudos to those guys for really fostering such a great group. So started doing that, started picking up more projects. You know, games now kind of come in and out. We do a lot of trading. Jared, right? Jared Lemekowitz. So Jared bought a few games from Mad. So, you know, we spread the gospel here where we can.
It's kind of crazy because you, Jared, Patrick, I mean, and the first time that I met a lot of you in person was a lot of you made the pilgrimage down to Pinbrew Fest. Yeah. It was like amazing
Pinbrew.
To
this
finally.
Year?
No, it was a few years ago. No. The first time that I met several of them.
Yeah, this year I missed this year because I was at a bachelor party. Oh man, so sad.
Dude, you missed it.
I know.
It, man.
Oh, God, it's a really twist of my arm. Yeah, Game Terminal, though. We swung by, which was a delight.
Oh, nice. It's always a good time.
Yeah,
$2 a game on this Jersey Jags.
Yeah, so,
it's only four tokens or something.
Yeah. Seven tokens for one game of Guns N' Roses. Yeah. Love Jersey Jags.
But yeah, so. You know, hooking up with those guys, it's been great. We're actually starting a little co-op. Nick's kind of mentioned it on some of his podcasts before, but we're in the process of that. So, you know, right now I've been kind of farming a bunch of weird classics.
I
was real Stern
recently,
heavy for a while.
What did you have come through recently? I saw it. Was it like a title fight or something?
A title fight. I just finished that. That was a challenge.
Yeah, talk about that one a little bit, because I'll say from like my perspective of following you, you know, I see what you do on the restoration side, but then also when you talk about the community, I think that's the part where you really take it to another level, where when people are thinking about dabbling or thinking about getting into it, like, you're one of the first people to always chime in and just be like, hey, yeah, if you have any questions and this, that, and the other, and I think that's what really can help grow this. Yeah.
For sure. Everyone, I think that's, you hit the nail on the head there. Like, it's so important to try to, you know, give back to other people, right? Like, when I first started Mike helped me with my EM. Like, he literally took videos of, like, him tracing out the circuit for me and explaining stuff. And I'm like, not having that guidance, I wouldn't have been able to figure it out. I would have probably just given up.
If you just get discouraged.
Like, a lot of people probably do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just get discouraged. And, you know,
it's gonna be so
over time, there's a lot of... It's, you know, definitely. And we have some good local techs here. So it's just, you know, it's like paying it forward, right? So I really love helping out buddies. And I think we kind of talked about this earlier, right? Tinkering, right? Like, I like to tinker. I think I'm like 60-40 repairing pins and like playing. I just enjoy it. I like helping out my friends. I like helping out, you know, people. Just getting pins running, no matter if it's like the shittiest pin out there. Like, just
they
get
all
it
deserve
running.
Love.
You know, any pin is a good pin. Yeah, exactly. Like when I saw, is it Don, the guy from like Georgia that wanted to toss his Punny Factory?
Oh my gosh!
I
was right. Like crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. I'm like, I was like
his
actually
name,
like
his name is Don, isn't it? Crazy Don.
Yeah.
Don, I think it's Don. Yeah, I mean it he's yeah.
Not crazy.
And I'm like,
Don, but...
dude. I mean, you know, I get it. You're trying to do it for the memes, right? Like it's a joke, but like really, like someone would be really happy with that game.
Yeah,
you know, like
I do remember that. You know, that was like, crazy. People were paying for that too, and it's like, stop fueling him. Do not encourage this.
Yeah, like stop doing that. Yeah. So, you know, any pin's a good pin, and I, you know, like just to see people getting them running. So, yeah.
Have you played a Punny Factory?
Yeah. So. I have not yet. I have not actually seen one. I think Jeff's the only person that I know that actually has one. So we
have one, and then there are a couple operators that have them. I need to put out like a little map of where these are.
We need to get it
because
back
I stay
out
in touch
location.
With several of the people who have them out on location just to see like, hey, how's it holding up?
Yeah.
How many plays do you have on it? You know, all of that stuff.
Or is it okay? When
I need to do like a whole, you know, year later or whatever for this game. That way, you know, people can understand, you know, how it's faring and everything else, because it's an interesting thing, and I just love any time that someone is taking the plunge to make like the vision of their dream come true. It's like making an insane risk here to go from the design to the manufacturing to the promotion. I mean, there's just so much that goes into getting a game from your mind.
I can't even imagine.
Oh, like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Engineering everything.
Throw that shit off a roof.
You know,
and then somebody wants to throw it off the roof.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, because
you got
playfield
his money back,
like
so chill
crappy.
Out, dude. Whew. He did get his money back?
I don't know.
Supposedly, he's a man child.
Supposedly he got his money back, but I think.
Definitely loves to throw tantrums. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Well, I can say on the restoration
side. You
gotta
be a really like solid person to get kicked off pin side. I mean, real bad shit on pin side. Like
fucking
you got
terrorists.
Kicked off of there, like the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just you're well over like being a decent person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt.
So you've obviously I've followed along on several of your restorations at this point. Do you have a favorite of the ones that you know, hey, I've taken this thing from a heap into a gem, or
that's bolded, as they say.
Yeah, or something that you just loved at the end, or you thought you'd love and then you hated, you know? What's that one?
I think the one that might be the one I'll probably never get rid of is Flight 2000.
Oh,
I actually got that from Jared. Yeah, Flight 2000. I'm like a big 80s Bally Stern guy right now. They're just so easy to get running. They have so many great games. And they're just easy.
They're
easy
simple,
to swap out.
So
yeah,
simple.
Simple. Like, just so simple. But that was like my first deep dive, you know, where I like the whole top side, you know, you're tumbling every little metal standoff post that are terribly annoying, you know, CPR, new plastics, touch up paint on the play field. But that was like the first time I actually like
a whole shebang.
Touched up paint.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, where you're actually mixing the colors and I'm doing, you know, swatches to like really dial it in. and it's a great tournament game too. So it'll be bolted not at my house, but at the co-op. Right. So that's kind of like the other side part of the co-op is we all have limited space at our basements and I hate selling games. Like I don't want to get rid of any of my games, right?
Let's talk about your basement a little bit, because the first time you explained to me what it takes to get a game into your house made me cringe.
Is this a 90 degree turn guy?
He is not a Dave, explain to us what you've got.
So, you know, a lot of old houses in Buffalo, right? My house was built in like the early 30s or something. Okay. So, you know, I don't think they had the foresight 100 years ago to be like, oh, people are going to turn their basements into, like, arcades.
Foolish. Right? I don't get it.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, crazy. There's no vision. It's just zero vision. So, where I come in from my side door, my basement steps basically have a dog leg, right? It goes down. It kind of does the U and goes down again. And my one door is just kind of on the wrong side of the U. If it was... you know, 3 feet over, I have a straight shot down. But unfortunately, it's a game of inches. story of my life, I guess, kind of. So,
that's what my wife tells me.
A few inches too short. Yes, there we go. We so, yeah, you know, it's just, so unfortunately, a lot of times every time I you know, have to remove the head of the game, which, you know.
Hear that, Kyle? In the ass, he has to remove the head
of
the game, Kyle.
Every game.
Don't ever complain about my stairs ever again. I almost transported a game on its side to get in my golf this last weekend. I'm like, I'll just fucking throw jaws on its side. Just shove it in there. It'll be fine.
It'll fit in
the
Ford Focus wagon, man.
Ford Focus wagon.
Verified.
Right in.
You know, the good thing about the modern Stern, though, new modern Stern, it is literally like 10 minutes to take it apart and put it back together.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's like an Ethernet cable. You know, yeah. Jack Danger actually has a really good video of him and his daughter removing the playfield. So we take it down in three pieces, the cabinet, playfield, and head, and it's like you're one-handing it. It's so nice.
It's funny that everything you bring up that video, you know, because I've referenced
it. You literally pull a playfield out to do it?
That actually makes sense. I bet it does light it up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably makes it way lighter.
Depending on the game, right?
And if you're doing art blades anyway, game, it's like, I already have the playfield out.
Yeah.
I just take a sawzall with me usually. Just cut the game in half. It'll be back together next year sometime.
You're not borrowing any more of your games.
Yeah, so no, that's the whole story about the basement. They've all been, you know, not terrible. JJP, I have a Toy Story 4 that I bought from Kevin. So
I'm sorry.
You know, and I know people hate on it, but I absolutely love it. It's so good. I hated it when it first came out. But then I played Kevin's a ton, and I love it. So you know, it's my favorite JJP, other than Dialed In.
That is the one.
Got a Dialed In for sale?
Wait, do we have a Dialed In?
We do.
I wanted you to shop out. Yeah.
So we'll talk off podcast.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway,
that's, Kyle that's has flat out refused to play Toy Story since it has come out.
It's been his one stipulation
was like
a month.
He's like, if you bring it to my house, you carry it in my basement. He might play it, but
I might.
He might.
I might play.
Kyle, you're missing out.
No, I'm not.
It's like No Good Gophers. It's like a new No Good Gophers, pretty much.
It is.
Oh yeah, you got the jump ramp. Oh man,
we were at Expo when they unveiled it, and there was like 30 of them, and I never played it one time.
I know.
Because it's too fucking expensive.
Literally, if we're playing a tournament and he gets put on it, he just takes a strike.
He does. Yeah. I have multiple times I've watched him be like, I'm not playing it to give me a strike.
Strike. Thanks, buddy. Fuck that game.
Yeah, well, hey, it grew on me, so I enjoy it.
I'm the exact same way. We have Corbin's family has one at the brewery we play at a lot, and they'll all be over there playing Ninja Eclipse or Punny Factory.
Last night he was camped out on it.
Or John Wick or whatever's new, and I'm just over there all by myself, just plucking some quarters down. And
I'll say, operator side too, that game earns. It earns it. It's the top.
Yeah, that game earns. I mean, JJP they're always flouting how it's like the top earner from some pinball magazine or something.
Replay, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. I can attest that. You know? My Woz still earns. Elton John earns. I mean, it all. Yeah.
I think the only one that really doesn't is Godfather. That was the one where we were like, not a great earner.
Yeah. Is Scooby still earning, even with the
Scooby does good
when it's not broke.
With the what?
When it's not broke.
Oh yeah. When it works, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dave, while we have you on here, I want to talk a little bit about you have a tournament coming up, so I want you to plug the tournament.
Yes.
And Ninja Eclipse will be there. We'll talk about Ninja Eclipse a little bit more, but let's talk about this tournament.
I didn't even find out how many games you get in his basement. Don't rush this guy.
No, back up.
Jesus.
How many games?
What kind of space do you have?
Let's get in the Wayback Machine.
So, in the basement right now...
Just paint the picture for me.
I have 11 games.
Okay. Ooh, that's healthy. That's 11. Healthy.
That's a good
lineup.
Now,
11... We're gonna go with
nine
this. 11
safe crackers. They fit right down your stairs.
Yeah. They're all Super Mario Brother Mushroom World.
That's what I'm saying.
I have all of them. Doesn't that exist still or whatever? I have 11 physical games, and then I am a P3 shill. Okay, I will admit I am a P3 shill.
Hey Kyle, where's the mute button on this board over here? It's got to be around here somewhere. I'm just kidding.
So. I have a few modules. So if you, depending on, do you count the P3 as just one, or do you count like Weird Al and Final Resistance as games?
We'll give that, you the that P3 as one
space, because I think
it's one slot. Space.
I guess the modules, though, he has to store the modules somewhere, which could be, if he didn't have the modules, that might be a second.
So maybe we give him two spots for that. Is Dave the guy, though, that how many arcade games do you have? And he's like, well, I have a game with 8,000 games on it.
No, no. Just the Donkey Kong, Jeff. Well, actually,
that's right.
The multi-board, just the Donkey Kong. So, but yeah, so we got, still have Lucky Hands, because that's, you know, can't get rid of that. Family hand-me-down. And that'll be a co-op game. We got Hard Body. Hard Body is actually going to be at Jeff's tournament, Jeff Teolis, at his Beast tournament. In the main. So we get to see, you know, Jason Zellner destroy all my high scores.
So what are the dates on the Beast? Shout that one out, because that's just an absolute.
So this is in Buffalo.
Beast? This is in Buffalo.
Okay,
because it's the weekend before yours, right?
Is that where you went?
The weekend before mine. Yeah, it's like the second, third, August 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yes. Yeah, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. But I think all entries are. I think Jeff said there's a little bit of women's spots left, but the main. You know, and Classics is already all filled up. So,
well, I mean, that one's a huge tournament. Yeah. I know one of the players we sponsor, Aaron Rich, went up last year, I think it was. I mean, it definitely draws because of, you know, the potential for IFPA points and whatnot.
Whoppers.
Whoppers. Yeah. I think he's like 270% boosted for mains. Yeah, there'll be a lot of top 25 players there. So I'm, you know, hoping not just to finish last and get me a few points. And hopefully Hard Body stays up to like 3 days of intense playing.
So you're going to have to like take it apart to get it there too.
Yeah, just take that off.
That's dedication.
Just like, take that.
I just think people should. Yeah, I just hope people appreciate that. Because I mean, I take a lot of games to shows and stuff, but the heads stay on. So like, if I had to take the heads off, it would decrease.
You have to understand for Dave now, though, it's just part of the process.
That's true.
If we see, yeah,
he does
it's
seem
like
very
nothing.
Accepted to it. Like if he's Jeff
like, no, this is how we do it.
If Jeff has to move a game in or out of my basement, I hear about it for 3 days. How hard?
Minimum.
It
yeah.
The only games that I won't move, though, like I have a World Cup, right? Doggy Soccer is just not going anywhere. Because those WPC games, like, oh my God, it's just so many connectors, yeah. Like a lot of plugs. They're all just kind of over the place. You know, the Bally 6803, there's like just a handful of plugs that go to that go into the cabinet.
Not like
so
WPC.
It's like, yeah, it's not WPC level. So it's not terrible.
6803. So, I love it when Jeff brings me a party animal with no head on.
Funny story about party animals. So a little bit of a sidebar.
So it's gone
here.
Again.
Sidebar.
It got sold again.
Party animal is like, I would love to know the journey of games, like especially this one, because just in the time that I've known of this specific party animal, it's like six people deep. Corbin and I are running around on Wednesday, and we make a stop in Medina, Ohio, Foundry Social.
And work a full day.
And yeah, and we walk in, and they have a row of four pinball machines sitting there, and one of them is party animal. I'm like, oh, party animal, that's a weird one you don't see out very often. I walk up to it, I'm like, that frog is broken exactly like our frog was cracked. This looks exactly like
was the mushroom bumper the wrong color?
All of the stuff. I'm like, this is ours. This is the one. And this was the party animal that I showed up at Kyle's house with the head detached.
And my finger still fucking hurt.
From doing the LED job on it. So that was the sidebar on party animal. I had to throw that in because I just keep running into it everywhere I go.
It's stalking you.
Yeah, so... let's see. So we those two games, and then I just finished. I grabbed a silver slugger from a guy and buddy was holding it from me in Philly. I'm kind of on like a little Gottlieb Street level kick.
When you're ready to move that
kick in general, so.
Dave, we need to talk. Maybe some silver slugger when you're ready to move it and some dialed in. We might be able to make some things happen. All right, continue.
Hey, you know what's great about that silver slugger too? To
10 silver sluggers you dialed in.
Yeah. my dad's in Westchester, like New York, so he's not really far from Steve Young, right?
Yeah.
So I drove up there, you know. Steve was like, I have a new old stock playfield for it.
Of course
he
did.
$100. You can
grab it.
I knew
you were going to be buddies.
$100?
I knew you were going to be buddies with Steve.
$100. I'd throw that right off a roof.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I had a local buddy has a shop, sprayed it for me. So I got like a minty, clear-coated, it'll be the best silver slugger that's out there.
It's one of my guilty pleasures.
Okay.
Yeah, same here. If I'd love to find a Hoops, but like, you know, Hoops is now for whatever reason a bazillion dollars. So add that to the list. But yeah, so Silver Slugger and Title Fight are both my Gottlieb shoot level guilty pleasures. So, and actually one weird thing about Title Fight too, when I was shopping that out, System 3 game, right?
Yep.
But the mini flippers up top are 80, System 80 flippers.
Interesting.
Which was annoying because, you know, I'm like, all right, I got to shop it out. I know this thing's kind of beat. Hey, Steve, give me like 5 flipper rebuild kits, right?
Yeah.
And Steve didn't know. So this is like, I called him back. I'm like, hey, you know, the top is actually 80B. And sure enough, we looked in the manual and it lists the unit as like the 80B set. And yeah, so Steve was like, I'll have to make note. I'm like, wow,
just a bunch of leftovers.
I feel like that's a serious accomplishment. If you can teach Steve Young something, then like, that's a win. That's a serious, mark that date down in the books.
I got chills a little bit. I got
chills hearing about it. So.
So we got those guys, World Cup Soccer, obviously that was a grail game for me. You know, when J-Pop actually made games,
I remember the day.
Remember the day when J-Pop made some great games. So we have Stern Godzilla, premium, courtesy of Jeff, a pro and a premium, but you know, I went pro initially, then obviously had to circle back and get the premium.
I remember you being really hot on getting that premium because wasn't it around the time you were trying to get it in maybe for one of your son's birthdays or birthday party because they were big into Godzilla at the time?
Yeah, birthday parties. Yeah, he was like, dude, he was so into it. And it's cool. Like, when, like, you know, little kids are like, oh, you know all the kaiju? And you're like, and the parents are like, oh, he watched the movies? I'm like, no, he has no idea what this is. He just played the pinball game. Exactly. Yeah, so he's learned, like, you know, that's it.
Reverse learning.
So it's really fun. And he, you know, he's 6 now, and he has like solid skills, like really good ball control skills, because he's grown up playing, you know, hard games, right? So,
What's your take on the black Godzilla, and white? And then, what's your take on the black and white? You're going to trade your color out for a black and white, real quick? Just a quick question. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Probably not. Okay. Probably not. I mean, I think it looks good. Now, so just my own critique about it.
Yeah,
fire away. That's why we asked.
Yeah, I'm trying not to go, you know, George is probably listening and he's like, oh, this Dave guy made the guns comment. And I'm like, I'm on the list now. But
as soon as you said that, he already turned it off.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this guy. I think the art is cool, right? I love these black and white rethemes. I wish the insert colors would be like, you know, white and red, right? Like colored inserts with black and white art. Yeah, it was tough. And then someone else in one of the other Discord groups I'm in kind of mentioned like, hey, you know, I had an Elvira black and white, and it was like really, really hard to track the ball sometimes because of all the monochrome. So I was I never thought about that.
Elvira's dark.
But yeah, that's my only you know, critique. Other than like, you know, it's kind of a bit of a cash grab.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't know if it's a cash
since
grab.
Since it's not, since the price is just normal premium pricing, yeah, exactly. I don't feel
that's
like
true. It is normal premium.
Since it's normal premium, it's just like they're just doing another run.
$13,000. Yeah, they're just
doing, or like Jurassic Park was or whatever. Yeah, they're just doing bullshit, another run of premiums, basically.
The part that kind
with a different art package.
Excited me a little bit was the foil, and then when George said you were also going to do the accessories in black and white.
I did think that was interesting.
Oh, well, that would be cool that you're going to do art blades.
And like you said the other day, how hard is it just to switch in the computer to do like tippity tap and it changes all the contrast to black and white and then they just reprint it or recut it or whatever.
No doubt.
Sure.
But I think that was cool, though. They're full theme.
No, it's a great move.
Because I don't even think the Munsters, I think the Munsters topper is still the normal topper. It's not a black and white version of it.
Right.
I'm trying to remember.
I'll look when I go.
That game may never leave your house.
There's not much color in it.
I need someone to help me carry it out to take it to my dad. So
yeah, we can do that. All right, so Godzilla Pro to Godzilla Premium.
Godzilla
so.
Pro to Premium. Yeah. So now we had the Foo, but now we're at Aliens, which You know, it's a cool game. It's easily Pinball Brothers' best game.
Agreed.
Obviously, Queen is like, and then listen, I'm not even gonna get to Adam. I'm maybe, you know, listen, it's past my age group anyway, but and maybe it's a European thing, but I hope that's selling like hotcakes in Europe because I need Pinball Brothers to stay alive for a little bit longer. So Toy Story 4, and then is my first JJP, But I do want to get it dialed in. I almost bought Kevin's dialed in too, but you know, just timing. I wasn't able to get both. And then my P3, which I have primarily right now. I play Final Resistance, which anyone else there who has a TNA, Denise.
Yes.
Yeah, and Scott's just like an awesome dude. I have the opportunity to talk to him regularly, and he's just an awesome guy. So Final Resistance, you know, aka TNA 2, absolutely love it. That's 90% of my plays right now.
No way.
It's just not TNA 2.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, it's, you know what, it's TNA-ish.
It has the same TNA vibe for sure.
The interesting thing that I was kind of going off on is whenever you said, you know, Scott DeNisi's a great guy and George Gomez, you know, we're talking about George Gomez being a great guy and Jack Danger. It's like, I think that's one thing that we can say, like, in the pinball community and hobby is, like, we're really blessed with a lot of people who are just awesome individuals to begin with. And then are engaged in all of this. It's like there are a lot of things you can be into, you know, sports cards or Pokemon or all these different things where GTOs. You just have a bunch of like a-holes. And it's like we may have a few out there.
There's a few. I mean, there's this particular artist I had the opportunity of talking to at TPF, and I was
a little
really
put off.
but he has a bit of a reputation, I think, already. So
yes.
I guess I shouldn't have been surprised that I was like completely, you know, it's crazy. You go talking to Steve Ritchie, right? An icon. And Steve's just like this awesome.
Good morning,
dude.
Gentlemen.
Like, man, he's just,
play better.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, like, you know, yeah. He's talking about Steve Ritchie. Like, hey, is the man. He's awesome. So, yes. But he takes the time and he did signatures for you and, all that other stuff. And then with this other guy, it was just, had some words for me and I was like, wow, that was kind of rude. And
yeah. Rude and
I won't get into the details.
I want to hang out with Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I probably should have expected it, but it was just kind of a dick move. So,
I love. We're about to have the John Norris, questions. We're going to him tomorrow. So I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. Before I submit the questions, if you had one question to ask John Norris,
limiting him like that?
What would your question be?
If I had one question. Okay, so I don't know if this is a question or more of a request.
Okay.
I guess, you know, John, you know, can we get a like a Bad Girls 2? Like, please. just make Bad Girls 2.
Do we want it to be like a modern version or do we want it to be like
girls.
The same like throwback? The original.
Yeah, Bad Girls 2, the batterer. Batter?
The batterest.
Sure.
Okay.
The batterest.
The batterest west.
The
worst west.
I think it alphanumeric. Alphanumeric, Pulp Fiction style, okay. Right?
Still like 80s
but
chicks.
But really, really bad.
80s chicks, 90s chicks.
It doesn't like, even play. You just press the button. There's like something on the play field that's kind of moving
around. And we need, you know, we need that like classic Gottlieb tasty 80s tunes. So... that's definitely my favorite, John Norris. I'm also a sucker for Diamond Lady, as well. So
I think you might need
Diamond Lady is, you know, Raven. I played Raven at Timbrew and Raven's a little rough. I like some pretty, you know, cheesy games.
And we're going to retheme. I think we're going to retheme it to something else.
It's a perfect candidate.
Yeah, it's a perfect.
It's definitely a good candidate for a retheme.
Bad Girls was in the IFPA championships. You know, I think it was Elwin and Zellner were rocking it. So it's, you know. Those 80s Gottliebs are hype now. Jeff, you're leading the charge there.
That's what I'm trying to do here.
Looking for an arena?
Arena, I love Cactus Jacks. I'm in love.
I need
with.
A Cactus Jacks. For yeah, sure.
Yeah. So if you run across a Cactus Jacks, let me know.
Yeah, it's hands down the best skill shot in any pinball game ever.
So you're vibing with
it's
me
not
on
debatable.
That, isn't it? Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Why hasn't it been redone?
So
I don't even know if I'm familiar with.
Oh, I'll show you after the podcast. It's
I
fell in love with it at VFW and just I couldn't walk away.
I'm trying to picture the game. I'll have to look it up.
Very good. Yeah, so that's the collection, and obviously things are always changing.
Yeah.
I have, you know, some games are stored at friends' houses too. So that's just what's at the basement. So hence the co-op, right? To kind of store all these things, and a lot of collectors in Buffalo are kind of in the same boat. So
yeah,
we're gonna have a place to play these funky games.
Yeah. So do we need to talk about his tournament?
We do. We need to plug the tournament.
I interrupted the tournament talk about. Yeah, so tell us about the
tournament. Yeah, no problem. I'm like horrible at staying on track. Too,
yeah.
So tournament.
We haven't talked about Jetsons yet.
Yeah. So we are, it is called the Pinchet. So my friends, Scott and Christy Weiss, local Buffalo people, they're in, actually in Medina, New York, not Medina, Ohio.
Okay.
They just finished, we call it the pin shed, but it's like a garage, right? They built a 24 by 24, garage, you know, separate power. And this is kind of like a christening event. And I was like, hey, you know, we have this co-op starting up, and Nick and Kevin have been running tournaments for a decade. Right. And they're like, hey, we want to start teaching other people how to do it. So this is like my, you know, get my feet wet. We're doing 4 hours of qualifying, just match play, Swiss pairing. And then we're doing a ladder final, and there'll be an A and a B. So pretty standard as far as tournaments go.
So I know you know, were going, max 24 players. Are you filled up, players, or are we still looking for some players?
We have a few spots left.
Okay.
So, you know, definitely.
Act now.
I'll share that link out again. Yeah, act now. A few spots left. We're trying to do prepay. And we have a good game list too. So we got there's going to be a Getaway, Walking Dead, my Deadpool Pro, Pulp Fiction. If you want to classify Pulp Fiction as a modern, and then a Halloween.
Walking Dead. Walking Dead Premium.
Pro.
Walking Dead Premium. Yeah.
It is a premium. Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
I think it's a premium. It has the little
the crossbow,
the jar, right? So
yeah.
Yes. So then we have a few EMs, Spanish Eyes, awesome EM, you know, that pop bumper in the middle. It's
that's
pretty
cool art, doesn't it? Isn't the art on that?
Really? Yeah, super cool art.
Yeah.
I think a Chicago Coin Bronco. I think Chicago Coin made the Bronco. And then Williams Aztec, which is like one of my favorite EMs to play. Aztec.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of classics. We have a Black Knight 2K. We have a Genie. Gottlieb Genie, Gottlieb Roller Disco. So what were those? Ultra Wides, right? You don't really see Roller Disco very often.
My favorite part of Roller Disco is...
I love wide body pinball machines.
But they put two L's on one drop target. They're like, how can we get Roller Disco across here?
Yes. Double it up.
2 5 banks. What can we do here?
Classic Gottlieb right there. So there's going to be a Flash Gordon. Some brutally hard 80s games, right? Flash Gordon, Firepower, Stars.
I do love me some Firepower.
Meteor.
Classic.
Firepower is good. Classic. Evel Knievel, a Ballykiss, Gorgar, and a Road King. So we should
That's
have
killer.
It's a nice, yeah,
That's
nice
a really
mix
nice,
of,
a nice diverse lineup.
And and then Ninja Eclipse. I'm not sure if we'll probably try to throw it in the in the tournament too, but I'm not quite sure. Some of the more serious people
are we taking that
are,
up there?
You know,
yeah. If they need making a trip. If they need anything,
so
else,
Dave's actually. So we'll have it out at the Pins in Pittsburgh prior to that. So he's going to pick it up from there and then take it up. So
It seems reliable. Honestly,
it's been definitely so far so good on all of that. Yeah. Excited to get it in front of as many people. The Buffalo pinball community is great. The Pittsburgh pinball community is obviously phenomenal. So we just want to get it in front of the
Canton community.
Just
the basement.
Pin Brew, man, a lot of the guys we were talking, you know, a bunch of the Cleveland guys were there and everything. And I'm like, we will make this happen. We were talking, one of the guys, was it Rob? The guy with the mustache?
Yep, Rob.
Rob, awesome, Rob, super good energy, right?
Yeah.
We were talking, he's like, I know a guy in Erie, PA, like the VFW connection or something. He's like, we can rent the space and, you know, a bunch of Ohio dudes bring a bunch of games, a bunch of Buffalo guys bring some games.
We would absolutely be down to do a huge collaboration, bring some machines, whatever we need to do, we would definitely be down to support that. No doubt. We should make it happen.
For sure. So I think once the co-op's up and running towards the end of fall, you know, this could definitely be like a fall spring thing for sure. So
yeah, absolutely.
That'll be cool. Especially I'm all for more tournaments, you know, meeting up with good people. Actually the next tournament we're going to be hosting is going to be a Critical Hit. Have you guys ever played one of those?
I have not. Describe it to me a little bit.
How does that work?
It is, it's IFPA sanctioned. I forget who created it. I'd have to Google it again. But essentially, it's like,
you know, literally Magic no one pinball? At this table plays in tournaments. Like, we, that is.
Oh, all right, well.
Yeah, I mean.
Basement tournaments, that's about
this
it.
Is
yeah,
the
yeah,
one
yeah.
For you, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested.
So, our tournaments consist of, we go to somebody's house, and then we have a big top, Wyco big top back glass, and whoever wins takes that home, and that's where we go next.
Begrudgingly.
Listen, yep. That's perfect.
And
that's
also, perfect. You have to put the big top back glass above your bed. Not like
a winner, not you above? Had to do that. You just wanted to.
Yeah, no, is this the winner or the loser, Kyle? I'm not sure that we have this clear.
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
I think it's a Phil's right now. Board? No, and not a, like above your bed, like on the ceiling, so it's looking at you.
Oh my god!
When you wake up in the morning, it's the first thing you see.
When you go to bed, that's the only thing.
I mean, it's probably better than like a you know, those photorealistic Gottlieb back glasses. So it could be like a Gottlieb Hot Shots, right? Like that's a little much.
He's not wrong.
He's definitely not wrong.
I'm gonna go to Torpedo Alley again. I want that
Torpedo
back
Alley. Yeah. Oh yeah, those yes. shorts.
Those shorts.
They just put a guy in there for whatever.
You basically just like at the start, it's like match play, right? But there's a whole bunch of like Magic the Gathering-esque cards. Everyone gets a few cards to start it off, and they all have like weird skills. Like, hey, if you're in a group with like a few guys, or, you know, hey, I'm playing with people that are going to whoop my ass. Like, all right, I'm leaving, so I'm switching with a player. You could play that card. You could, say you guys all blew it up on ball one, and I had a stinker. I could play my card that makes me switch players. So it's like it mixes it up, it takes
it to like another level. Like
sounds whole, like Mario yeah, Kart it, almost. Like it's boxes.
Yes,
now.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Oh, red shell, like boom, chaos, right? Gotcha.
You got to play it with the right guys, because like if you're playing with like guys who are just way too serious about this stuff, they get angry. Whatever. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about. There are no super serious pinball players, tournament players. No, that doesn't exist, Dave. Come on.
Yeah. So, check it out though. Give it a Google. Critical Hit.
Yeah, definitely sounds interesting.
So, yeah, I never heard of it before when I was submitting the tournament for IPA registration. It showed up, and I was asking Nick and Kevin. I'd been kind of consulting them on how to run things, and they're like, yeah, we have this deck, and they showed it to me, and I was like, what?
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. We're always looking for new and fun things to try. So
we got to get Mike to figure it out so he can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, yeah, Dave, I don't know if they still sell the decks, but if you ever need, just let me know. We have some here. So
it's like IFPA.
Right. So I have one major thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Tonight.
And?
What's that?
There's a fucking Jetsons in the garage right
now. So breaking news, people. The best spooky game has landed in Ohio.
The absolute best spooky pinball effort ever.
I don't know if we need to use this.
It's set up. It's ready to rock and roll. Working.
I literally looked at it before we got here, sat down, looked at it, and I was like, well, we're going to record. So
we're going to flip some games on this, baby.
We'll see if it'll flip some games.
Yeah, we'll get the hot glue going.
How many Jetsons did they make? What was the number? What's the take?
They say 100.
They say 100.
So this was where in the line? So they did America's Most Haunted, right? And that was 150, I thought.
America's Most Haunted.
150.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Rob Zombie.
Okay.
I think Jetsons and Dominoes are the same.
Dominoes-ish.
Yes. Both contract games.
Both contract games. So.
Who did they do the Jetsons for?
Who contract out?
I forget the name.
Hanna-Barbera or whatever?
Planetary, I believe that's who it was for.
Planetary
had the license. It was someone like that had the license for it. I'll fact check this, of course.
Oh.
And they were like, hey, we have this license, and we have like these very specific assets that you can use, and you cannot go outside of this very small box.
So let's make this really fucking awful game.
And if by awful you mean...
It looks really nice.
Amazing. It looks amazing. The artwork, the colors.
It has one fucking ramp, dude.
What? I didn't know you were such a ramp snob.
You just have to abbreviate. Instead of shoot the ramps, shoot the ramp.
Funhouse only has one ramp.
Huh?
How many does Stiff have? Look at that one.
You mean Unfun House?
What is wrong with you?
All right, I think we're gonna cut Dave off here. Dave,
what, you're gonna cut Dave off?
We're getting Dave off the podcast because Dave's been amazing, and we've held him way later than I intended. So, Dave, thank you very, very much for the time.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You've added a lot to this.
I can't wait to be at the Olympics with him. Like, yes. I've never met him, so I'm excited to do this for sure.
I will definitely.
You know, it's crazy listening to like the pod all the time, and you guys, you know, your vibe is like the same as like our stuff in here in Buffalo, right? Like all my friends. So it's like listening to you guys is like a lot of the same conversations we have. So it's weird as a listener to like actually, you know, talk to you guys now. Right. Cause like, you know, I know like a lot about you, so it's weird, right?
Super psyched to meet you.
No, it'll be awesome.
Thank you.
We should go to Buffalo and hang out with these people. Oh, I'm just going to say, 100%. Is that a weird thing to say? Like,
is there there's Buffalo pizza, right?
Is that a weird thing? Is there Buffalo style pizza?
So, okay.
Yeah. What's that mean?
Yeah. So it's like kind of not Detroit-ish. It's like a little thicker.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. square, rectangular-ish. Okay.
Fluffy, but
you know, I'm not originally like from that. Buffalo, right? Yeah. So
where are you originally from? Connecticut. Okay.
Connecticut and Jersey and, you know, like Westchester. So like, tri-state area, but I've been living in Buffalo for 15 years, so I'm
why
you're like a, you consider yourself a local now.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, basically a local.
This guy's a hater. Jesus. Yeah, and Kyle's getting mean.
Everything.
Yeah,
it's past his bedtime.
We're sorry, Kyle gets mean after 10 o'clock.
His bedtime alarm went off.
It did.
Kyle and I were vibing on the Jack's Open Lucky Hand, but then he lost me with all the choices.
No,
I will not have that.
I had Jack's two open. System.
Oh, Jack's two open.
Jack's two open. I had solid state version. I wouldn't.
Like the worst one.
It couldn't have got any worse than the one I had. It was awful.
The bond is broken.
It was like there was no fucking art on the game. It was great.
But definitely we are excited to get everyone together at Pinball Olympics, where this will be your first Pinball Olympics, correct?
Yeah, correct. I'm very excited. Pinbrew. I should have no bachelor parties this year, so we will be there.
We're gonna do something crazy. Should we all do something crazy?
Pinbrew is gonna be crazy.
You guys can bring something.
I think we're gonna have every fucking spooky game, every single one. We're gonna have.
Find an Alice.
We'll find an Alice. Then I think
Ultraman for Alice. I'll
definitely have to haul something out.
Something
and Jeff. Something. We'll see what's in the you know, whether it's title fight or
what's gonna be easy to take the head off of, because that's the move.
Or what's going to like just annoy the most people. Like, that's why I'm so happy Hardbody is going to be in this tournament, because I just know so many of these like elite players are going to be so mad about these flex saves. You know, you get that like outlane drain and they're just going to be angry because it's, you know, it's a hard game.
Yeah.
So, and Jeff, I wanted to say special thank you for completely ruining the word fresh for me. I cannot hear read fresh with like,
absolutely.
In my mind, it's done. Like, the word is.
We are living
ruined,
in a wild times right now.
These are wild times. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'll try to ruin some more words for you. But again, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I can't wait to meet you in person.
Yeah. So, can't wait, guys. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Go Bills.
And that, folks, was Dave Sousa from Buffalo, New York. I think he really added some cool insight here to the podcast. So thanks again, Dave, for coming on. It was definitely a treat.
Agreed.
What word's the drinking game word again?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
People are wasted by this point from me, I'm sure.
So let's talk about this Jetsons.
Let's talk about it.
What do you want to say?
I can't believe it's here. What a fucking piece of shit.
You never played it before? Like,
No. I've watched people
we
play it.
We got this game for you. We thought,
Kyle,
why
come
is
on.
It not in my house then?
Because your basement stairs suck.
Yet.
My stairs are fine. This guy has
Dude,
to take
the
fucking
head in the playfield out. That's bonkers.
Come on.
That's commitment, though. Like, if you're willing
numb to it. You could hear it in his voice.
You could. Like, it's normal business.
No, you just got to pop the head off. Like,
he's taking Jersey Jacks into his basement with the head off.
He's insane.
Maybe that's like the best
way
to carry them.
Easily,
it might be.
You, it might be easier to just take your Jersey Jack on your roof and then fucking throw it.
Kyle.
Kyle is a play hater.
That makes me sad.
Mm. Are we going to get in trouble for saying Crazy Don? Is that like going to be a thing?
What?
I don't know.
I'm excited.
We can send this to him.
I mean it in like a very passionate way.
Yeah. You know, in a Pinside Terror sort of thing.
Yeah.
Terror sounds
amazing. All right, let's talk some events here, Corbin, because we've got some fun stuff coming up. We've got some Ninja Eclipse events coming up.
I want to say first, last night at Unhitched was a really good time. I thought that was, we had a really good turnout. We had saw some faces we hadn't seen in a while.
It was.
The pizzas were good. That was my second pizza of the day, and it was slamming. Alex.
Slamming salmon?
I know you don't listen to this probably, but you always make such good food.
I like to think that when he's whipping up like a new recipe, he's listening to the Fresh Pinball podcast.
If you are, much love, my friend.
No doubt.
Keep on cooking.
So, yeah, we did that there last night. Next up, it's currently at. I don't know how soon you're going to get this live, but it's going on all weekend. Mike Bear's thing is going today, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Saturday, Sunday. You can go any day. You can go all day.
The Sweeper City Pinball Championship. So that's Thursday, July 11th. Starts Thursday, July 11th through Sunday, July 14th.
Yeah. You can go, you know, just replay, whatever.
And then we're going to move it from there to our favorite Akron spot.
Main tournament's qualifying's on Saturday, I think.
Correct.
I
believe, yeah. Yep.
Cool.
So then it's going to make its debut up at Quarter Up, and it's going to hang out there from Monday to Monday at the very least. So everyone in that area will have the opportunity for double Monday tournaments to be able to experience it with a full weekend and everything else.
Yeah.
And then the game will be moving to Pins Mechanical in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Where it's going to be hanging out for a minute until Mr. Dave Sousa comes down, picks it up for his Pin Shed Summer Tournament in Medina, New York on August the 10th.
Yeah,
perfect.
So Ninja Eclipse going to be making the rounds.
I was very impressed last night. I was very impressed.
It's a real game.
Yeah, it's nice.
It plays great. I'm very intrigued.
The dual scoop thing's great.
When it shoots across, that's a cool feature.
Yeah, well, I mean, cool. So in the left out lane, there's a kickback.
She talks about Midnight Madness.
And it kicks it out into the right scoop. It goes in there and collects whatever it needs to collect. And then it sends it from the right scoop to the left scoop and then collects the mystery. It's like,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
This is fantastic.
It's like juggling it around a little bit.
I love it. It's like a subway, but above?
It is. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
A groundway.
Yeah. It's like the trains on the tracks above ground. I don't know.
We'll talk to him about that Midnight Madness idea.
Oh, I think we could definitely talk to Chris about getting some Midnight Madness in there. Yeah, that's going to take it to the next 10, level.
10, 20-something. I got about an hour and a half till Midnight Madness tonight.
We've got some time.
Yeah.
And then I also wanted to announce officially the Gamer's Lair, or as Corbin likes to call it, the Dragon's Lair up in Brunswick, Ohio.
I think I just want to call it the Lair.
The Lair?
The Lair.
That way there's no confusion.
That's what I'm going to refer to it as with you, is just as the Lair.
So they're going to have their soft opening on Saturday, July the 13th. And what pinball machines do we place up there to start with, Corbin? A nice little trio.
All right, we dropped Star Wars Premium. That's the first time it's been out in the wild. There is a Venom Premium.
Venom Premium.
Whodunit too, right?
And then Whodunit.
Nice. Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Got him connected too.
So Venom Premium is connected, locked, loaded, ready to go.
Star Wars is still going off and on, so we got to get it back on.
Yep. Star Wars, we're going to add on to a different Wi-Fi network and get that reliable, but you'll be able to get in there and get your achievements and do all of that. And there'll be more pinball and other machines coming soon, but that's this the first load start, that we took up round. to get things going. But two insider connected games and the amazing Midnight Madness with
people
Whodunit.
People love those achievements, man.
They really do.
Got to scan in.
Got to scan in. Got to get the achievements.
How many days, Phil?
Like 610.
Six impressive, dude.
610.
It's longer than a year.
So it's
badges ended at 600.
They need to add another badge.
Well, let Stern know.
Whoever's in charge of the badges, if you're listening right now,
Zach Sharp, we need this.
We need
They also need. I still am voting for the feature where, since you can, you know, it knows the time. It's on a satellite. The Stern's on. You can set the business hour time in there.
It's on a satellite.
Well, you know,
Stern has a satellite. That's pretty sweet.
Or the internet. You know what I mean.
Do they have pinball in the satellite?
What's the thing called from a Terminator? Skynet. Skynet. It's on Skynet.
Skynet is live. We got an issue. But anyway, since it's all on Skynet, why can't they have it? So you put the business hours in, then a half an hour after, if it's not shut off, it auto shuts off.
Goes to sleep. Just goes to sleep.
Goes to sleep. Like a jukebox.
A little hibernation.
Yeah.
Skynet's live.
But we shouldn't. We shouldn't give it too much. Leave her 5-0 running. Have some lights and stuff.
It could do updates.
How about that board on Dirty Harry? That did we see that today or yesterday with the 5-volt meter in the middle of it?
Yes, on a meter,
like so in the middle of it's like WPC. It's, you know, Dirty Harry. There is a two little digit alphanumeric digit. And it was like literally taking a live, like it was like 5.03, taking like a voltage.
On the board?
On the board.
On the board. That's cool.
What board?
For why? What, on the power factory? Driver, the middle. Yeah, yeah. Well,
they're trying the track resets. That's definitely what you're doing. But like, it's this game's resetting.
You're going to know when it drops below because the game's going to reset.
Well, no shit, yeah.
So it's the,
yeah. So someone just soldered in instead of like an LED?
In line.
In line.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Mm. It was cool.
That's interesting.
I just was like, I've never seen that.
I've not seen that before either.
Yeah.
Ooh,
how I much mean, time for are we?
For
way
over? We're
can
way
we talk
over.
About my German PO box?
Yes, this is a supersized episode at this point. So let's keep it going. It.
Okay, so,
so Corbin, what is. Were you in the
cargo
market
parts?
For?
There were cargo parts.
That's no, what sorry, I was just laughing because it was a supersized episode, and then I was thinking about how it's Jeff's anniversary and he's hanging out with us on his anniversary. Anyway,
I guess Jeff's not going to Taco Town tonight.
That's what I was thinking about. So that's why I couldn't even form my sentences. So
I know, Tia, that you're not listening anymore.
She stopped listening like an hour ago.
Oh, yeah.
Hour and 15 minutes ago.
Happy anniversary. Your marriage is old enough to drink now. So.
Yeah.
21 years. So anyway, love of my life.
I'm searching for some. I thought I was the love of your life, Jeff.
Sorry.
Anyway, I was searching for some Congo parts.
I just saw some real sadness flash in your eyes.
I've been on a kick of searching for Congo parts. And I don't know if anybody's ever ordered from the Pinball Center in Germany before.
Is it spelled C-E-N-T-E-R R-E?
I don't know. I'll look. But
okay, this question's not important.
It is. It'll be easy to find. I've got like 15 emails from them recently.
10 tabs open.
I was like, who the fuck's talking about
minimum
it? I forgot Keith
tabs.
Was here.
Anyway, so you order from this place, and they won't ship straight to the U.S.
So no U.S. addresses.
Yeah, no U.S. No, it's Pinball, C-E-N-T-E-R, G-M-B-H is what it's.
Disappointing.
Yeah. Anyway, so they won't ship. As soon as you put in your address and you put U.S., it says cannot ship there.
Says
sorry.
Fuck you.
It says no. So I discovered this years ago, and I got a German P.O. box. Right, it's super simple.
Right,
and you forward it.
Of course, mm-hmm. Who doesn't have a German PO box?
And so I had forgotten about all this until I got on the website, and of course, this is the only site that have the perfect art blades that match the back panel. Anybody who's familiar with Congo, it has that back panel. It has like the purples, the volcano.
Yeah.
They have art blades that match that same art that just comes around. So I'm like, and I first saw.
Why aren't we printing this shit?
So, I do have a printer. I should be able to.
I know we should.
Anyway, don't. That's not the point of the story. Okay, don't get me off topic right
sorry,
now.
Sorry.
We should. We absolutely should be. Fuck. Anyway, so they had those. They had the plastics to cover the metal, the stainless steel.
Oh shit!
And
they
you
did.
Know I've been hunting for those, so I ordered me a set and I
it
ordered
looks
Jared a set.
It's fucking naked. Like
it does.
Why?
It does are you so serious naked. Right now? You did not include that. So I ordered two sets of those. Then they also had a WPC like audio visual for the WPC 95. Like I think is that the it's that one. Yeah. Like that one. Which you can't, like, Ron Dog one sucks.
Bram, scared stiff. Yeah.
And you can't get any other version of it. And they had one. It was like, they basically just made it in, I don't know if they ripped off copper. I don't know what they did. But either way, looks right. So they had that and a couple other Congo plastics they needed. So I had to do it. So I forgot, though, just how big of a pain in the ass it is to do this this PO box. Because once it gets in, then you have to, like, reassign it, redeclare customs to get it to leave Germany from your PO box to forward it to you using the Czech mail service or something, and it's like, well,
I wonder what the reason is that the company doesn't want to ship it directly here. There has to be something.
It's copyright.
I think it's copyright stuff. I think that's what it is.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Planetary owns all that shit.
So, yeah.
Planetary, I hope you're not listening right now.
I don't care.
Right. If I tried to get it from Planetary, if they would have had those plastics, I would have bought it from them, but they didn't because Planetary will ship here.
Yeah.
And they send me cool stickers.
They do. They're real cool.
That's
we need
I've
to
doing
up
it.
Our sticker game. Like, we all we do. Have is the classic Mad
stickers
Pinball
logo. And shirts. I'm telling you, the next round of shirts, I want it to be like a positive message of like, don't be a dick or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about that since we talked about it, and I want it to be something along those lines of like, just a positive, like,
whatever.
So the godfather really of Mad positive. Pinball, shout out Rob Bradley. Corbin and I were chatting on the phone with him the other day, and we were discussing a certain individual, and he said that the next hashtag on a shirt should be "Don't be a dick." So.
I just think it's a good idea
in general,
literally in general.
It is good advice.
I mean. I think more people need to maybe keep that floating around their mind.
We need to up our sticker game.
I have those sticker machines that I need to do like a little something.
The dollar ones.
Right? And then I think it might be time for a fresh pinball podcast shirt for fresh shirts.
Mm. Maybe stickers too. I love stickers.
So are you guys familiar with Fiverr?
Yeah, where you can go like, hey, I want a logo or whatever.
I want a logo. That's what you did, didn't you? I want a whatever.
Yeah.
So they
put it in AI for free. And
we can get the Mad Pinball logo animated for like $80.
That does seem really cheap.
That seems...
animated. So we're like a cartoon we talking?
So basically, there are different things they can do, but one of them, the examples that I saw was they take the logo and it kind of like builds itself out, you know, like it, you know, the circle, the inner part, and draws the whole thing, and then like they can make it talk, they can make it do all kinds of different things. Or if we want to co-brand with Stern, we can have the Mad Pinball logo come up and then the Stern logo come up.
You click a button on it and it's just Tank the Dog going
right. But I'm seeing like all of these different options. Like this was definitely a rabbit hole that I was not ready to go down because I you know, the Fresh Pinball podcast shirt, I think it needs to happen. Or at least a sticker.
All right, we give Tank. Tank is here. Just so everyone knows, Tank's here. Phil's here. Keith's here too.
Oh, yeah.
We give Tank a week to come up with the design for us. Otherwise, we're using AI.
Got to do what we got to do.
No offense, Tank.
Are we ready for final thoughts on this supersize episode?
Yeah, I'm down.
All right, Zach. Final thoughts, buddy.
I'm going to go play some Jetson right now. That's what I'm thinking about.
Do we even finish our events? Don't we have a... There's a quarter-up launch party coming, too. And there's a North Canton launch party coming for John Wick.
Yeah, we'll put that on the next episode. We've talked about enough events.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Get out there and play some more pinball. And
if you can, go play some Jetsons.
Play some Jetsons, That's what we're about to do. It's going to be a good time. Some TNA.
Always play TNA.
If anybody has any good advice on TNA, I think we got ribbon cables or a board or something that's just going in and out. So if anyone knows anything about this, or Scott, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are,
Scott,
could you give me a call at some point?
Email us at freshpinball@gmail.com.
Or just call me.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Corbin?
Scott Denisi, call me.
Scott, call me. All right, so talking about the Hoover Pinball Lodge John Wick launch party, it looks like
I thought you were talking about this.
No, don't you mute me, sir.
Get the fuck off my board, dude.
Saturday.
Get out of here.
July 20th, we will have the Hoover Pinball League John Wick launch party. It could be the pro, it could be the premium, it could be both. We have both unboxed right now that we're could taking around. LA. So it could be both. Who knows?
We have one of those.
And then Monday, July 22nd, we will have the quarter up John Wick launch party. The pro is up there right now with those super sweet expression lights.
Ooh.
And for the launch party, the premium could join it. So
we might take something else up. I mean, Ninja Clips will be gone.
Tank, calm down, buddy. We'll let you out here in a minute. I know you got to go.
He keeps peeing inside. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Kyle?
You know, I love pinball.
I do too.
Pinball loves you, I think.
That's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
So we almost called off doing the episode tonight because Corbin was out doing his real job. And then he said, you know, this is one of my favorite things to do. So we made it happen.
Prior to this,
there's nothing better than getting behind these mics and
brings people together.
Drinking a couple beers.
Yeah, hanging out with my people. Yeah.
Crack a few beers, crack a few jokes. Yeah. Go straight to Taco Town.
I had to ride.
I love Taco Town.
Dude, Taco Town's the fucking best.
All right, Kyle, play us out here with the Mad Pinball jingle. I guess I should plug Mad Pinball here. If you need something, email Corbin.
Ooh, or Jeff.
At madpinball.com.
Mostly Corbin. He'll get back to you in a week.
I emailed you back faster than a week. We have lots of new box games, guys.
We do.
What do we got? What do we got sitting around?
We've got Iron Maiden Pro and Premium. Oh, yeah. John Jurassic. Wick Pro and Premium. Jurassic Park Premium.
There's a John Wick LE.
We
somebody
do.
Out
we
there
have one
wants
left.
That in their house.
Yeah.
I think we have like one, maybe two spots left on the black and white list too. But you have to get your order in by tomorrow, which is impossible because this probably won't be live by then.
This will be live tomorrow morning. So if you're hearing this now, email us and let us know you want one of those Godzilla black and whites.
God, I want one so bad. We have a bad idea. I can't do
one Black Knight Pro left to go. But yeah, we have some good inventory going. Thank you all so much, and good night.
Bye.
Goodbye.